You're listening to a Rig Train Masterclass, supported by the Radio Independence Group and Creative Skillset, independent training for the UK radio production industry.
What's very interesting, you know, hearing Ollie speak and his experience with Helen, is that what you're seeing is effectively is a real democratization of content. 10, 15 years ago, you wanted to be a broadcaster, well, it would be the BBC. It would have been GCAP. It now global. You'd have to go to the main groups. You'd have to get your air miles. You start at university radio, and you'd work your way up. And now podcasting, similar to YouTube, just offers your own medium. You don't need somebody else in order to get your content out there. I also work at the Daily Telegraph, where I anchor their legal. And what's very interesting, of course, is we have a massive amount of online material, but at the same time, a lot of people will disseminate their information from blogs, whether they're news blogs or commentary blogs. If you could look at the election, there's some phenomenal blogs out there. Nobody's queuing up and going to the Telegraph or the Guardian saying, please employ me as a journalist. They're going out there, showing their creativity, and they're building an audience. And then when you look at monetization, if you really want to monetize something, anything actually, you need to own it. And going this route, it's a difficult route because the whole thing is about building momentum, but actually what you will have is you will have the train set. You will have the ownership of the intellectual property, Copyright Act, if you create it, you own it. It's an original literary work, the sound recording, you'll own that. Then you can look at the various ways in which you can then monetize your audience. And that is the beauty of going this route. However, you're going into a huge pool, and it's going to be about you finding a way in which your voice is amplified and actually resonates with an audience, which again goes back to the comments made. It's about the creativity and the originality of the content and finding actually that people want to listen to you and want to hear what you say, and actually the monetization then plays catch up. It's interesting hearing Adam talk about Acast, which I was aware of, and that's obviously a really good platform for people to exploit their material. And again, it seems like from what Adam's saying is it's almost like they're looking at almost like a Netflix model for podcasting. They'll now commission their own material, and yet again that siphons away power from the BBC, because effectively it means, you know, if you want to have great audio content, obviously LBC and Global as well, you don't have to go to what used to be the traditional media. If you look at the Guardian website, they've been producing audio for a long time. So you've got all these. You've really got a whole growth in platforms, and that allows people to have greater scope to find their own creativity and their own voice. Another interesting area about podcasting is how, if you look at radio, and say look at Radio 1, you've got this whole move, and particularly in the last 5 years, into visualization. It's no longer a radio station, it's a brand, and it will find its audience through whichever form of distribution resonates with an audience. You know, my generation grew up in the 80s and 90s, loved the radio, top 40. I would be there with a cassette recorder 4 till 7. Before I knew any copyright law, I'd record it. And now they're going to take the top 40 off from Sundays, because actually this new generation, they'll access the material anytime. They're a complete digital generation, and the last generation was an analog generation. And so Radio 1 have been really terrific at running with that curve. And finding ways in which, in order to engage their audience, and actually it's not whether you're 97 to 99 FM, it's YouTube, it's downloads, it's whatever way in which they can connect with the audience. And then you see that working in reverse. If you take something like Sky Sports and their cricket podcast, people who don't subscribe to Sky, I love Five Live, and I'll listen to Jeffrey Boycott and on talking about how terrible England are. But then you'll go to Sky and you'll hear the same thing probably in a little bit more measured tone. But it allows the brands to push out to a bigger audience. And so you're seeing, if you like, as audio moves into visual, you're seeing the reverse trajectory, visual into audio. So actually it's a very exciting time where, if you have the creativity, the tools are there in a way that weren't there 5 years ago. As anybody says, you hit your mobile phone, you record. You record visual, audio, you record audio visual. You can then download it onto YouTube, you can go to iTunes, you can go to the various other platforms. And you don't need anybody's permission to do that, as long as you stay clear of music, and we're not going to talk about music, but music rights is a nightmare. But the great thing is your speech, I believe most people here are speech orientated, and nobody can tell you outside of our libel laws what you can and cannot say. And so I think it's a very exciting time, but if you really want to monetize, you need to own the train set. The tools are out there for you to own the train set. The paper I prepared, which I'm happy for people to take away with you, is all about the position with the BBC and the various ways in which under the 2014 terms of trade, which I was across and negotiated, the BBC are facilitating, aiming to facilitate brand extensions and allow people who come up with content to find new and improved ways of monetization. The jury is out whether or not any of that's going to work, to be candid, but we're trying. But as I say, you don't have to wait for the BBC. You don't have to wait for anybody to commission you, and I think that's the best thing about the times we're living in. Thank you.
Do you mind just quickly summarising what's in the paper about how you can monetise content you've already made for the BBC?
Yes, I can have a little bit. Do we have the paper on? Bring the paper on?
Yeah, I can bring it.
Thank you. So we've got the 2014 terms of trade, and you've got standard deliverables, and including those standard deliverables are podcasts. And unlike the normal programmes where the BBC, under their licence within the UK, will effectively sit on the primary rights forever, the podcasts come back, I think, in 8 days. You can run with it within 8 days, and then you're looking at, if we go to the next page, you're then looking at the distribution rights. If we move on, should come here. But distribution rights, which is under, I feel very academic, clause 16.1.2. Of course, I know that by heart. You've then got the various revenue splits, and basically on for digital download rights and commercial new media rights, it'll be 30% for material that the BBC didn't fund a pilot. If you've taken their money initially for your pilot, it will then be 35%. And you should just be able to run with that. If we then move on, we look at commercial new media. This is great. We look at just commercial new media rights. There's a special clause which basically commercial new media rights talks about brand extensions, which moves beyond podcasting. It's whether you, for example, take an app, you take a website, you take your idea and you run with it in different ways. And the BBC will allow this, but they have to be very careful. They mustn't effectively cannibalise their own public service remit. So the whole idea is you're the BBC, let's say you're Doctor Who. The BBC would struggle to have a BBC-branded website whereby core Doctor Who content was then being charged to an audience. They can license to a company like Big Finish. You see I'm a Doctor Who geek here. And create content, if you like, by moving it away from the BBC. And I think actually that's probably one of the things as an independent producer, that actually this will allow the BBC to move things away from them, and therefore by doing so argue this isn't actually cannibalising their own public service remit. But the test is under clause 12.9, and if we look at clause 12.9, if I have to read it, I'll read it very quickly here before I run out of time. The producer hereby agrees that the exercise of commercial new media rights during the licence period shall be subject to the prior written consent of the BBC, to be based on clear and transparent guidelines published on the BBC website. The BBC acknowledges that an underlying principle of such guidelines will be to enhance commercial opportunities for the producer in the online environment, whilst ensuring that the core public service propositions are not undermined in the eyes of the licence fee payer, and it's clear to the audience what is being provided by the public licence fee and what must be purchased through commercial opportunities. Again, it's in the paper, and what I've also produced for everybody is actually a copy of a summary of those BBC guidelines, which I don't intend to read out, but that's okay. You can take it at home and it'll be fun reading for tonight. But the BBC are very aware of this, that actually, just like, you know, Acast will produce material, and I say we go back to Netflix and Amazon, and they're moving into, if you like, paid content. The BBC, by bringing things a little bit almost offshore, is going the same route, but from the opposite direction. And probably the best example of that is the long running, well, I feel it's a saga, the BBC Store, which is going to launch if and when it gets approval. I think there probably are some competition issues on this, and I hope it won't turn out to be a huge IT spend and white elephant. I can't call that. I actually don't know, and I'm not trying to be negative towards the BBC. But suffice to say that there's been a lot of, when you produce a programme to the BBC, you will sign under Schedule 5, I'm sorry to quote this, you will sign an assignment clause to the BBC store. It will be a non-exclusive licence, but the terms, the commercial terms, have yet to be negotiated. They will be negotiated between the BBC and RIG. We're not even there. I think the BBC, if I'm candid, their main focus is actually charter renewal and actually looking at their own funding mechanism, which is so obviously no longer fit for purpose that, you know, the BBC store is a very much a secondary consideration. But all these things will play out, I would say, in the next couple of years, but everything's on hold until the election, which is only 8 days away.
There's so much to look forward to. Thank you so much.
Could I ask a quick question on that?
Sure.
For outside the UK, what about that Doctor Who scenario?
Well, I mean, outside the UK...
Because the BBC Worldwide presumably has a different license.
Yeah, absolutely. And the BBC definitely have a lot more scope to play the game outside the United Kingdom, because the whole point is the license fee payers are within the UK. That potentially might change. I'm speculating here, but I think that it's obvious that the way in which the license fee operates is so no longer fit for purpose that it is, again, it's an analog system. It probably dates back, to the 30s in different guises. You know, you can watch BBC iPlayer materials here in the United Kingdom with no license fee, providing you don't watch a live stream. Well, actually, as we know, year on year, the number of people who take their television and audio and radio materials on as and when a timing that suits them increases probably exponentially. The number of people who watch a TV show now, a top TV show would normally get an audience of 7 or 8 million. You go back a decade, it was 15 million. And of that 7 or 8 million, probably 2 million.
How many people watch the Beatles live on its album?
I thought
60 million.
Which is extraordinary. But now, again, if you look at, say, if you take an NBC and if you take The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, the most amazing thing there is actually the YouTube hits. That's where that's a big difference between Jay Leno and Jimmy Fallon, and that's why the show makes a lot more money for NBC now than it used to. So that everything's converging, and everybody's trying to move their tanks into the other spaces. You know, the non-traditional media are trying to come into wherever you like the networks are, and the networks are trying to move now into that area. We're all playing in the same pond. But it's like the only thing I would just say, if you take away the most exciting thing for everybody's content creators, is you really don't need anybody other than your own enthusiasm, creativity, and the tools are out there. Good luck.
You've been listening to a RIG Train Masterclass, supported by the Radio Independence Group and Creative Skillset, independent training for the UK radio production industry.